A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Sorry for my absence earlier in the week. I will, if you are interested, I will give you the TMI update at the end of today's program. But suffice it to say, I am very glad to be back behind the microphone, and Missy is doing a little bit better than she was earlier in the week. So, again, I thank you for your thoughts and your prayers. We're going to be talking with Nikki Gozer coming up here in just a minute or two about her column at Town Hall, why she will not be voting for Kamala Harris come November. I had a feeling that was going to be the case with Nikki, but her rationale and her explanation for why Kamala Harris will not get her vote is worth talking about. So we'll kick up that conversation here in just a minute. Before we do, though, let's talk about this for a second. Economists are warning us about massive tax hikes that could hit your IRA and 401k hard. With inflation rising and global uncertainty, it is no wonder the central banks and many Americans are turning to gold. Now, if you haven't thought about gold yet, now's the time. Trust Priority Gold to help you diversify your savings with gold and silver. When you text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD, you can get a free gold info guide and see if you qualify for free shipping and storage. Experts agree physical gold is one of the best ways to fortify your savings. Act now to get your portfolio working for you while the market is golden. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD to learn more. That's GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD. And now let's kick off our conversation with Nikki Gozer from the Crime Prevention Research Center about why she will not be casting a vote for Kamala Harris this November. Take a look and listen. Nikki, it's good to see you again. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Cam. Good to see you, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, you know, you got your piece at Town Hall, ran earlier this week, talking about why you're not voting for Kamala Harris. Now, I have to say, going into this, maybe I was wrong, but Nikki, I didn't anticipate you voting for Kamala Harris in the first place, simply because of her anti-Second Amendment views. But as you point out, it's not just that it's bad enough that she wants to wage war on our right to keep and bear arms. But when you look at all of the policies that she supported from just a public safety standpoint, the real damage is being done and would be done if she had the ability to put these sorts of policies in place nationwide.
Absolutely. I mean, just look at her support for the defund police movement. That movement has had very long-term damage on police departments across the nation. And, you know, police officers had a very difficult job anyway, but that has made it even more difficult with very important resources and money, you know, being taken away from these departments across the nation. And they're hemorrhaging still. I mean, there are good officers who have already left, retired. Those who are set to retire, you know, it has caused real morale issues. And, you know, they've had to lower standards for hiring people to fill uniforms. And whenever you do that, you risk having even more potential issues. And some of the very same issues that the defund police movements were, you know, initially concerned about. I'm afraid that it's going to cause even more issues. And she supported it. Kamala Harris supported all of that. And, you know, it's made it difficult for people to get emergency response. And a lot of people aren't even reporting crimes anymore because they just feel like, you know, what's the point? I mean, these people aren't being prosecuted. You've got liberal DAs that are not prosecuting these crimes. And it's very disturbing. Plus her support for gun control. There is not a gun control policy out there that Kamala Harris does not support. She supports every gun control measure. And I point out in my piece, you know, so many of these gun control laws, they really only impact good law-abiding people. Criminals, by their very nature, they're not going to follow the law. They're not going to follow these gun control laws. Kamala supports gun-free zones.
Yeah. Going back to her time as district attorney in San Francisco, that's where she was when the Heller case was decided. And she co-authored this amicus brief urging the Supreme Court to uphold D.C.'s gun ban, saying there is no individual right to keep and bear arms. The courts have never interpreted the Second Amendment to protect an individual right to keep and bear arms. So D.C.'s handgun ban, that's perfectly fine. The storage requirements that required those who had purchased a firearm or a handgun before the ban went into effect and had legally registered those guns. They had to keep them locked up, disassembled, ammunition stored separately. They were worthless for self-defense in the home. Kamala Harris was fine with that, right? Now, meanwhile, when she was a senator from California, she had the LAPD providing security for her. Even when she was in places like Stockton, California, and other cities, she had LAPD officers serving as her personal Praetorian guard. So she's okay with the idea of, I guess, important people being protected, right? But everyday folks like you and I, we're just supposed to rely on that 911 call and hope the police get there in time, right? Because, as you say, she's never, and I'll happily retract this statement if it can be proven wrong, but to the best of my knowledge, she has never said anything expressing support for our right to keep and bear arms in self-defense. And she certainly has never cast a vote or challenged a gun control law that inhibited or infringed on that right.
Right. You know, in my piece, I explain, it baffles me how anyone, but I was focusing on women in my piece, how a woman could possibly support Kamala Harris if they're at all concerned for their safety and the safety of their loved ones. Kamala Harris has made it even more difficult for people to get the help that they need from law enforcement. But she's also not in support of you being able to protect yourself. So there's no one, you know, there. She doesn't want people to be there to really protect you when it comes right down to it, because all police are racist. All police are bad, according to her, you know, in the defund police movement. And, you know, they don't trust the police. You're not going to get the response that you need when you need it. Police know they can't be anywhere and everywhere at any time. And I believe law enforcement, they're mostly very, very good people that want to make a difference in their communities and help make our communities safe. But they've been so demoralized by this movement and Kamala Harris and others that it's very, very difficult for them to keep people to fill uniforms. And then you can't even protect yourself because they keep supporting these gun-free zones. So how are people, especially people like myself, who are victims of violent crime, how are they supposed to be able to protect themselves? I've got a stalker that's going to be released from prison. It's terrifying for me. I need to be able to protect myself anywhere and everywhere I am. And I want that for other women as well. They should absolutely have the right and the ability to protect themselves wherever they are.
And I guess their attitude is, well, Nikki, we're going to protect you, right? With all of these common sense gun safety regulations, you know, your stalker isn't going to be able to get a hold of a gun. Because of all of these gun laws that we're putting in place, right? I guess that's philosophy. Now, in practice, we know that that's absolutely absurd. Even in the most gun-controlled states like California and New York, criminals are getting a hold of guns easily, right? In fact, it's much easier to get a gun illegally in California than it is to get a gun legally. It's much easier to get a gun illegally in New York City than it is to get a gun lawfully. So I don't think that attitude makes any sense, but I guess, I mean, that's the nicest interpretation, right? The not so nice interpretation is that, well, we don't trust you with a gun, Nikki. We don't trust Cam with a gun. We don't trust the American people with their Second Amendment rights. And so we have to take them away in the name of public safety, right? Or maybe just in the name of control.
Right. More and more, I'm starting to think that it is in the name of control, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good news is, I think that we've got a lot of folks like you out there who are helping to spread the word about the dangers of what a Harris-Walz administration would look like. And, you know, you talk about gun-free zones. Let's talk about just the right to carry, right? Tim Walz has opposed right to carry reciprocity. Kamala Harris called the Bruin decision, I think she said it was contrary to common sense and the Constitution, which is bizarre that a ruling that says, yes, the right to keep your arms does protect the right to bear arms is somehow, you know, an affront to the Constitution. But you're right. They don't want you to carry anywhere. Right. They don't want you to be able to protect yourself with a firearm. their attitude is basically we're all better off if the only people who have guns are those who have guns illegally. That's it.
It's incredibly disturbing. Look, there are defensive gun use cases every single day in this country. I could have very easily said, my husband was murdered by a stalker with a gun. I could have turned, I suppose, and said, oh, I hate guns. Guns are bad. But I don't hate guns. I don't believe that guns are bad. I know that guns in good law-abiding citizens' hands can help save innocent lives, and they do. There are defensive gun use stories out there that the mainstream media absolutely does not cover. But you can go to our website at crimeresearch.org and you can see defensive gun use cases. They happen every single day in this country. It's just not spoken about.
Yeah. And some of them, many of them, involve domestic violence. They all involve abusers. They involve stalkers. And I confess, when I see those stories at Bearing Arms, I try to highlight those. Because this is something that you're right. Maybe it gets covered in the local media for a day and then it disappears. These stories are hardly ever covered by the national media. And yet when you see a woman who has taken out an order of protection, right, she's taken all of those steps to keep herself safe. But she or a family member or, somebody else in the household ends up having to use a firearm to defend her when her stalker and abuser, breaks into the home. Why are we talking about those stories more, right? Why does the media downplay those stories instead of, again, I think acknowledging that the human right of self-defense and our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is another layer of protection for people who need it, particularly those vulnerable women who are escaping abuse, who are dealing with a stalker? I guess I know why we don't have that conversation, or why it's just people like you and I that have that conversation, why the mainstream media doesn't want to talk about this stuff. But again, when they ignore this, it's a form of bias, right? It's bias by omission. They don't want people thinking about, maybe I should, go ahead and get some training, get my concealed carry license if I don't live in a constitutional carry state. But maybe I need to do more than just take out that order of protection, because I don't know that piece of paper alone is going to keep me safe.
Absolutely. I helped Tennessee get the new lifetime order of protection law on the books. And, I hear people in the pro-gun movement talk about, oh, it's just a piece of paper. And I say, you're absolutely right. It is just a piece of paper. I feel like it's still important, but I always make sure and let people know you have got to have a backup plan. You've got to. And I believe the best backup plan is to have something on your hip. Obviously you need to do what you have to do and what you think is right for you. But I don't think telling women to run and hide and change their name and change their location and try to hide their address and don't travel alone, get a dog, get a rape whistle. Some of that advice may be useful, but I believe in empowering women to actually be able to stop the threat. And look, a gun is a great equalizer, and it, I believe, is the best way to stop that threat.
Absolutely. I do, too. And, getting back to the order protection, yes, it is just a piece of paper for those who would choose to violate it. Hopefully, again, if somebody has an order protection against them, they're going to think, OK, I don't want to ruin my life by violating this order protection. So I'm going to leave that person alone. But if they don't, that it's at least a paper trail. Right. So you can, because, listen, if you are forced to use a firearm in self-defense, there's going to be a police investigation, regardless of the circumstance, right? No matter how clear cut this might be. And the situation may not be so clear cut. So that at least provides a paper trail for you to say, look, there was a documented trail of abuse. There was a reason why I was scared of this individual. There was a reason why I told them, and the courts told them, you're not allowed to come near me, which I think is helpful from a legal standpoint. If nothing else, if that abuser or that stalker treats that order protection as if it's just a piece of paper. So I'm with you. I don't think there needs to be, my God, if we're dealing with somebody who's threatening your life, you know, yeah, have a backup plan, have a backup to the backup plan, right? This is your life that we're talking about. And people need to take those threats seriously. So don't just depend on a piece of paper. Don't just depend on a firearm. Do everything that you need to do to keep yourself safe. But as you say, also, we do want these people to be empowered, but they should not have to live their lives in fear. They should not have to live their life as a victim, afraid to look over their shoulder, right? That again, that just continues that abuse, that continues the harm being done by that individual.
Absolutely.
Well, Nikki, again, I am always just struck by your courage and your bravery and your willingness to speak out in support, not only of what you believe, but really to help others. So I hope that people will read this. I hope that they will, take away, again, the history of Kamala Harris's attacks on public safety, the attacks on our right to keep and bear arms. And again, where does that leave us, right? If the police are bad, we can't protect ourselves. Again, where does that leave vulnerable people in dangerous situations, right?
Exactly.
Well, Nikki, again, thank you so much. And if folks want to learn more about the Crime Prevention Research Center, again, can you give us the website?
Yes, that's crimeresearch.org.
All right, Nikki, as always, it is good to see you. Thank you for everything you do. And I look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thanks for having me on. Good to see you.
My thanks once again to Nikki for joining us on the program today. And I really do appreciate her joining us on the show. Look forward to having her back again here very soon. Before we get to today's armed citizen story, our good deed of the day and our recidivist report, once again, let's talk about this for just a second. Economists warning us about those massive tax hikes that could hit your IRA and 401k hard. With inflation rising and global uncertainty, it is no wonder that central banks and many Americans are turning to gold. If you have not yet thought about gold, now is the time. Trust Priority Gold to help you diversify your savings with gold and silver. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD for a free gold info guide and see if you qualify for free shipping and storage. Experts agree physical gold is one of the best ways to fortify your savings, and you can act now to get your portfolio working for you while the market is golden. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD to learn more. That's text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD. All right, today's recidivist report, not necessarily a true recidivist report, but still one of those, what on earth is going on in our court system? Here's the headline from Montana. Teen charged in Metro Park basketball tournament stabbing, sentenced to probation. So this wasn't an attempted stabbing. This wasn't a threat to stab someone. This was an actual stabbing. A 15-year-old from Butte, Montana, charged with stabbing another teenager at a state high school basketball tournament back in March, was handed probation until he's 21. His charges reduced from attempted deliberate homicide to assault with a weapon in exchange for that guilty plea. He was also charged with tampering with evidence for throwing the knife away after the incident. Those charges transferred from a district court down to youth court. Now, according to the Billings Gazette, it was back in March when two teenagers who were friends of the victims tried to steal the defendant's Louis Vuitton bag. The victim, who is a friend of the defendant, did not participate in the robbery, was watching with another friend. And apparently, after the defendant refused to hand over the bag, he ran away from the thieves. Thieves pursued him. Victim then ran from the stadium in the same direction, running by the defendant at the exit. And that's where the defendant stabbed him twice. It may have been that the defendant thought that the victim was getting ready to take part in the altercation, but according to prosecutors, there was no sign that the stabbing victim in this case had participated in this attempted robbery. By the way, in Montana, it's kind of iffy whether or not this individual would have been charged for simply trying to protect his property rather than protect his life. But in this case, again, the person who got stabbed wasn't involved in the crime at all, according to prosecutors. Prosecution argued that the teen should be on probation until he is 23. Oh, by the way, authorities never able to uncover the identities of the actual thieves. The victim declined to give a statement to law enforcement or to identify his friends, which is problematic. And the individual whose bag was stolen also apparently refused to cooperate or to provide that information to investigators, which is maybe another issue here that led to the plea deal, right? But the prosecution still argued that the teen should be on probation until he's 23. The court, however, sided with the defense due to the teen's, quote, good behavior while incarcerated. Well, yeah, you're behind bars. I mean, we expect you to be on your best behavior at that point, right? From March until May. The court also said, well, he's had no write-ups. while he was in jail, stayed up to date on school. When he got out in May, he was employed over the summer. The judge, Mary Jane Nisley, said that the process of incarceration and supervision, quote, is not easy for anyone at 15 or 16. And it's true. Neither is recovering from a stab wound. That's also pretty difficult, no matter your age. The teen said, well, this taught me a lot about what I want for the future and where I don't want to end up. It's good. That's good. But I got to say, man, seeing a probationary sentence for a violent crime like this, even with those extenuating circumstances, it bothers me. And I wonder if this had involved a gun and not a knife, would this have been a different story? Maybe not, in all honesty. But it does seem like, you know, the courts are maybe a little more concerned about gun violence as opposed to violence in general, even if the victim ends up in the hospital. All right, today's armed citizen story, also involving the courts, and again, sort of a head scratcher. The DA in Waco, Texas, has dropped the charges in a shooting, deeming it to be justified, which that's not the head scratcher. The head scratcher part of this is why it took so long to actually do this, because the shooting took place in April of 2022. So more than 2 years ago, and now the DA in McLennan County is dropping the charges. The office says that the dismissals resulted from a, quote, extensive investigation and review of evidence conducted by multiple prosecutors and investigators in cooperation with Waco police detectives and with lawyers for both Scott and Calvin Nichols, who were charged with murder. The statement from the DA's office said ultimately the evidence could not overcome a claim of self-defense or defense of others beyond a reasonable doubt. And when you hear the circumstances, yeah, again, the question is, why did it take so long to reach this determination? So officers were called out to the scene on April 3rd, 2022. They found Joseph Craig Thomas dead at the scene, having been shot multiple times. Investigators learned that the shooting was captured on a nearby doorbell camera. And a review of that video shows that in the moments before the shooting, Thomas was aggressively brandishing a firearm at multiple bystanders on the porch of this home, threatening to shoot them. The DA says that the video specifically captured Thomas pointing his firearm directly at two individuals on the porch of the residence, making verbal threats to shoot those nearby. And then he physically assaulted Calvin Nichols, who was standing near the porch. Nichols' cousin, Jason Scott, observed Thomas assaulting Nichols. Scott was just a few feet away from Thomas, could see that Thomas was holding a gun. That's when Jatron Scott pulled his own gun, shot Thomas multiple times in defense of Nichols. The DA statement said that by law, if evidence raises the matter of defense of others, the prosecution must disprove that defense beyond a reasonable doubt. And a team of senior prosecutors determined that defense of others could not be disproven. Now, why Calvin Nichols was charged with murder, again, is an open question. Jatron Scott, who actually shot Thomas, should have been cleared long ago once that doorbell video was reviewed and prosecutors were able to see that Thomas was the initial aggressor. Thomas was pointing a gun. Thomas was threatening to kill those on the porch, and then Thomas physically assaulted one of those individuals standing in the yard. All of those details point to an act of defense of others. So again, why did it take more than 2 years to reach this decision? We don't have the answer to that, but thankfully, Jatron Scott and Calvin Nichols are no longer facing charges for one of them acting in defense of others, and for the other, I still am unclear as to why Calvin Nichols was charged in the first place, but there you go, a bit of good, if belated good news from Waco, Texas. And finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Some good Samaritans and first responders in Florida who helped save a woman who drove her car into a canal and was struggling to get out. This is, you know, I don't know how many stories like this that we have run across and covered over the past few years, but this seems to be a pretty regular occurrence in Florida. This was in Sunrise, Florida, about 6:40 Wednesday evening. Ovidio Romero ended up jumping into this canal after he saw the woman drive her car in. He said he could see everything, only the tires had sunk. He said, I wanted to get in, but since I was calling 911 and I was on the line and there was nobody else to help me, until I hung up and I got in. He said, close when she lowered her windows and sank. When she saw I was going in to help her, she lowered her window. It got full of water, and then the car actually went down. Neighbors told Channel 6 in South Florida that the victim is an elderly woman who has had health problems, has had difficulty parking. They've seen her have difficulty getting into her car previously, but this is the first time that apparently they actually, you know, saw something like this. Romero said, yeah, you'd always see her, and she'd sometimes have difficulty getting into the car. According to Channel 6 in South Florida, it's unclear who was able to finally rescue the woman from the neighbor, but she was taken to a local hospital alive at the time. Romero certainly got involved. I'm guessing that there might have been some other Good Samaritans, certainly first responders, aiding in getting that woman out of the car. But whoever those individuals were to save that woman, we thank you for your very good deed, being in the right place at the right time, and again, willing and able to do the right thing. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Variant Arms Cam and Company, with the exception of that TMI update that I mentioned at the start of the show. So Monday, after we did Cam and Company, I took my wife into the ER, and then many hours later, they admitted her to the hospital for the second time this month, as a matter of fact. So she has had some issues. She's got a blood clot in her lung. They were not able to get that treated, apparently, the first hospitalization. And so she was back in. She was having a lot of difficulty breathing, just really low energy. Couldn't walk 3 feet without stopping to catch her breath. In fact, by Monday afternoon, she really couldn't walk at all. I was wheeling her around, and she was still struggling to catch her breath. So the good news is that she is feeling better. The bad news is they were not able to actually remove the clot. So hopefully the blood thinners will be working here, and she'll be well on her way to recovery. It's been a scary week, to be honest. And I spent a lot of time at the hospital, so that's why I haven't been around the past couple of days. You know, she's doing better. They're planning on releasing her today. Still a little concerned about the fact that the clot is still there. So, again, if you're the praying kind, I certainly do appreciate those continued prayers for Missy. And just FYI, I will be off next week. So if you are the worrying kind, don't automatically worry and think that something's wrong here. But I will be off next week, and so we'll be picking up Cam and Company again in the second week of September. But again, to those folks who have reached out to express your support, all of those who have just been quietly saying your prayers in support of Missy, it means the world to me and her. So thank you again. I look forward to seeing you back here very soon. Do check out variantarms.com throughout the Labor Day weekend. We will be posting stories. I'll be doing a lot of writing. We've got some other contributions coming in as well. And even when I'm off next week, we won't have Cam and Company, but we will be updating the website. Tom Knighton and others will be up to date on all of the latest second news and information from all across the nation. If you like what you see, I would encourage you to become a VIP or VIP Gold member. Just go to variantarms.com/subscribe, use the promo code SAVEAMERICA, and you can get a significant savings on your VIP membership as well. You get exclusive content and ad-free experience. You'll also be supporting the independent pro-Second Amendment journalism that we're doing at Variant Arms. These days, it is critically important to the censorship and the anti-2A media bias. So thank you again for all of your support. We have a great Labor Day week, and we'll see you soon. Until then, be well. Be safe. Be free.